In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. We begin the Lenten Triodion today, brothers and sisters. And during Matins, we will sing a very penitential hymn after the Gospel. And it's very important to understand why we sing this and how we can sing this and not be undone by it. The reason why I say this is because our society doesn't really like to be reminded about sin, and we swim in the dirty waters of our society, so we're affected by this also. And the idea that if we think about our sins, we have a poor self-image, or that we are too rigid or too fundamentalistic, or that we don't know the love of God or something, all that other claptrap. Fact is, if we truly have a relationship with God, we will sing these hymns and they will comfort us as well as be an expression of our sorrow. So let's go through the hymn a little bit. This is right after the Gospel, and then we will sing this hymn. Open unto me, O giver of life, the gates of repentance, for early in the morning my spirit seeks thy holy temple, bearing a temple of the body all defiled, but in thy compassion cleanse it by thy loving kindness and mercy. It's very compunctionate. It really calls us what we are. We are sinners. We have bodies all defiled. You won't hear these kind of prayers anywhere except in the Orthodox Church, maybe a little bit in the Catholic Church, although they've replaced most of their hymnology with sort of Protestant I love Jesus songs, love songs to Jesus. We love our Lord Jesus, but we don't sing love songs to him. We sing things that are from our heart to his heart. We sing, and it's very easy to go from our heart to his heart since he abides in our heart. Doesn't have to go very far. We sing what affects what we feel deeply in our souls. We sing because we have a relationship with our Lord. I've been thinking about this recently, especially because of seeing some of the things that people write online about salvation and about the concept of salvation, about ideas. Christians are not saved by ideas. We are saved by having a relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. So to have an idea about justification by faith or about eternal security, if you don't know what that term means, you don't need to know, because it's a false idea. It's just an idea. It's not about a relationship. It's about a legal condition that can be proven or disproven by the scriptures that you read and which ones you place weight on and which ones you disregard. But the church has never understood salvation to be a concept, to be an idea, to be a legal event. It is a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So yet another definition of salvation is to have a relationship with God. And the reason I say this is because it's impossible to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and not have salvation. So, of course, it's possible to lose our salvation. So I don't want you to think that that's not possible. But salvation is to know our Lord Jesus Christ, know him intimately, for him to abide in us. And the reason why we can sing these things is, number one, if we have a relationship with our Lord, then we know him and we know his virtues, his holiness. And we compare, just like we do in our relationships with other people, ourselves with him. It's a natural human tendency to see, oh, someone, you know, you speak better foreign language than I do, or you're more patient than I am. Or, I really love your calmness under fire. I get upset about things easily. We do that all the time with people. Well, we would do that with our Lord Jesus Christ too, because we have a relationship with him. And therefore, when we see how holy he is, we look at ourselves and we look very dirty compared to his brightness. And it causes pain to our soul that we have this dirtiness in our soul. And so we sing out to the one we have a relationship with that we are full of sin. Now, just a few things from this opening hymn. We are begging the Lord, open unto me, O giver of life, the gates of repentance. We recognize that even repentance, to be fully expressed, must be by the grace of God and given by God. It's not all on us. It is for God to help us as we turn towards him. He magnifies our feeble efforts and we are saved. So, but we're begging him to help us to repent. Of course, that doesn't mean that we say, okay, help me to repent, and then we go ahead and let him take care of it while we take care of other business. No, that's not the way we would be with our relationship. We wouldn't be that way with our wife or with our husband or with our friends or with our children, would we? If we are like that, then we have a very dysfunctional relationship. If we say, I'm sorry for the way I am, and we know we have a strong, abiding relationship with the person we have grieved, then we are truly sorry. But we know that they will receive our sorrow, and they also will help us in some way to repent. Because repentance always happens in a sort of continuous fashion, not all at once. We might be sorry all at once, but the actual change of our character takes place over time. But we can say these things about ourselves to God because, one, they're true, and two, he will not reject us. We don't have to be afraid. Most people that call themselves Christians do not have an abiding relationship with God. He is a concept to them. Salvation is a set of constructs, maybe legal ones or other ones, maybe moral ones, but it's a set of ideas. You're not saved by ideas. You're saved by a relationship with God. Now, think of our relationship. Many of us are married. And if we're not married, then certainly we can understand this idea. We love our spouse, and yet we do things to grieve them and hurt them. We feel deeply that we are wrong. We feel deeply pain in our soul that we have grieved our beloved. We do it again and again, but we are sorry. And so we express to them, hopefully, that we're sorry, and we try to change. But in expressing to them our sorrow over something, we are not afraid that they will leave us because of it. I just was recently listening to a series on marriage, very good, by, I believe it's Archbishop or Metropolitan Athanasios of Limassol, bishop in Crete. And he said that in the case of adultery, that is the opportunity for the aggrieved to actually show the greatest love for their spouse, to receive back their repentance and do not abandon them, and do not place any limits on them, do not say, well, okay, you can still live with me, but I'll never trust you again, or other such things, or throw it in their face all the time, but to show acceptance of their repentance. Well, God will certainly do that with us. And if we have a relationship with him, then we know that. So we can sing the truth. We don't have to be afraid to say the truth. In other Christian confessions, people are afraid to say the truth about themselves. There's a facade. We can say that we are filthy with sin. It says here, bearing a temple of the body all defiled. We know that's true. We know in the next hymn that we have befouled our soul with shameful deeds and that we've wasted our life in slothfulness. This is true. We're not afraid to say it. It's true. It is freeing to be able to say that we are terrible sinners. Because it's true.
But God will not abandon us. He will not leave us. And that's because we have a relationship with Him. He loved us before we love Him, right? And He saved us and died for us while we were yet sinners. He won't abandon us. The more we know this, the more we feel this, the more we confess to Him our faults, and the more we feel deeply our sins. But in the midst of this depth of feeling our sins, there's also a great calmness that comes over the soul. I feel that sometimes. I hope you do too. That I can actually say to God, I am what I am. I am not a very good person. In fact, I am befouled with sins. I am full of sins. I have wasted my life. But while saying that, I know that He's accepting my repentance. It's not very good repentance. It's not very complete. It's barely begun, and it gets undone all the time. But He is not abandoning me. And so it's freeing to tell the truth about myself. It's a wonderful thing about our services. When I became Orthodox, that struck me. It's telling the truth about ourselves. Our hymns say the truth. They say what's wrong with us. And that's wonderful and beautiful. Most of the world does not think it's wonderful and beautiful. It's uncomfortable to talk about our sins. So what does the world do? They either don't talk about it at all. That's not the kind of things you say in polite company. And church is very polite company when you have your certain appearances. Or you say that a sin is not a sin anymore. That's what we're doing now in this age. Nothing's a sin. The only thing that's a sin is to think there's sin. But we Orthodox Christians know. Our heart tells us. And the reason our heart tells us is because we have an ongoing relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. One of intimacy. One of love and acceptance. And therefore we can tell Him the truth. And we can be freed by that truth. Because you can't get better until you know something's wrong. Until you admit something's wrong. So that's what these hymns do. There's thousands of them. Of course, during Great Lent, there's many, many more of them. You know, Great Lent for me is the most joyful time of the year. It's like when I can really just say, okay, God, this is who I am. I'm glad that I can say it. And say it over and over again. Because it's true. My favorite time of the year, Great Lent. One of the most difficult times of the year for me is Pascha. For different reasons. It's a beautiful time, but it's also a time when I should have realized all of the grace that God has given me and be full of light. But on Pascha, I'm not full of light. But God still receives me. Still accepts me, and I can tell Him the truth. So brothers and sisters, rejoice that you can tell God the truth about yourself. Now, you got to learn what the truth is. As a pastor, I can tell you that a lot of people don't know the truth about themselves. They really don't know that they're bad people. They've been convinced by the world that it's a psychological problem to think you're a bad person. Or they're so filled with narcissism and self-interest that they don't know that there are problems with their soul. But when you have revealed to you that there's something wrong, that's a great blessing. Because God will not abandon you. More, even more so than this, than not abandoning you, He will draw closer to you when you say that you are befouled with sins. So listen to this hymn after the gospel, and own this hymn, and be full of joy that you can tell the truth to your Lord, and that He will never abandon you, and that you will grow in knowledge of Him. This is very, very important. Our salvation is not a concept. It's not an idea. It's not a theological construct. It's not a system. It is a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And like any relationship, it will grow and become much more profound and have more substance as time goes on. And with this growing, we will have confidence. We'll still feel very sinful, but it will not be a feeling of dread, a feeling of depression, a feeling of worthlessness, like the world feels worthlessness. But it will be a feeling that God will cleanse us and help us. It's freeing to say we're sinners. So listen to the hymn in a few minutes and be glad that you can tell your Lord with whom you have a relationship, the truth. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.